Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to continue a series that was started a while back, and it's called Prosper Your Soul and Be in Health, and we're in part 8 in 2018. Praise the Lord. If you have not listened to the other parts, I encourage you to go back on demand and look at that to catch up. The overview says, when your soul prospers, you will be in health and see prosperity in every area of your life, including prosperity of wealth and finances, as it says in 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, be successful, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And we're at letter A, how to prosper in wealth and finances. I think that's a great way to start off the new year. Amen? Amen. A year of one, unity in God, and 8 new beginnings. And I pray that everyone has a better year this year than last year. Amen? Amen. And number 1 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. This is out of Genesis 1:11. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So when God commands something, it just happens, right? And we are the seed of Abraham, that we come from the lineage of Jesus. He is our Lord and Savior. We are part of God's family, and therefore we are seed. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And so we can command like God commands, and it should be just so. And if we aren't there yet, let's keep practicing. Amen? Okay, so let's go to A. If there is a seed, the earth has been commanded by God to give you a harvest. It is a spiritual law. There cannot be any changes. Once he puts something into motion, it's set. Someone plants a seed and they get a harvest from that seed. But what kind of seed are you planting? If you're planting a nothing, you get a nothing. If you plant complacency, you get complacent. If you plant faith, oh boy, that pleases God. Then what you believe in your heart, you have to believe it in your heart. That's the seed. It has to be down in your heart. It has to be rooted and grounded into your heart. That's where you're planting that seed. And then it's going to grow. It's going to bear fruit. You have to water it with the washing of the water of the Word of God. You have to believe when you spoke it into being that it was already done before you see it. Because see, when a farmer, I'm not a farmer, but those of you who have gardens and farm and whatever, but I've watched my dad, I've watched my uncle, Pastor Joshua. I watch people who love to grow things. My cousin over there, she grows great things too. I love to eat the fruit of it. Praise the Lord, literally. And in my family, a lot of the people love to share. They're generous, and they get so excited about what God did in their garden. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. They jump up and down. They're just like so excited because their fruit is bearing and bigger this year than when? Last year. And they expect next year to be what? Even bigger and nutritious and juicy and yummy. And so they're like, here, send this to Uncle So-and-so. Send this to the cousin so-and-so. I want them to share of this, you know? And then the person who they're sending it to says, well, you should see my fruit. I have really big, yummy fruit too. And then they send that over there. And so we are always enjoying the fruitfulness of the harvest. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bear greater fruit, better than before. Any time you have a seed, it will come up of its own kind. If someone plants a watermelon seed and keeps affirming that it's going to be a cherry tree, I don't think it's going to happen. I remember somebody I was ministering to, and I was saying, we need to grow more in the fruit of the Spirit. And she says, well, I think my fruit is kind of the size of a grape, but I want it to become a watermelon size. And I thought, you know, good analogy. We should see ourselves growing more in the Lord, bearing more fruit so more people could receive ministry from us. Not see what we could get and take and see what else, you know, is out there for me. Me, 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 me. What do I want? I want. No, no, no. God wants us to be givers. He wants us to be blessed more by giving. When you give more, you're blessed more. People think because they're taking, they're going to get more than other people. That's not the way that you get abundance. And so what seed are they planting when they're a taker? Selfishness. So they're not going to get much in return. Do you see? And when they're in need, no one's going to give them because those people will be selfish and not share with them. Interesting. We have to look at life in this manner. So remember, what do you want? Sow that seed. People are mean and rude to you. We better check out. Is there a famine in any of our lives that maybe at times we weren't kind to people, so now they're not being kind to us? And should we become kinder? And in 2018, you know, I know there's three thermostats to make sure that we are in the kingdom of God, that ABC edifies us and encourages us to check out. Joy, peace, and patience. But I am affirming to walk in all nine of that fruit. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me, you know, and the first person that sometimes we're grumpier with is the person you live with or closest to. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You should be kinder to them. If you ever scream or yell or get mad at people, you're not showing the fruit of the Spirit. And a wise man once said to me, it is unbecoming of a Christian to show and exemplify anger and ugliness, especially to other Christians. No, it should also be especially to non-Christians. It should be to everybody. Remember, one of the things that I always remind you, I read that Mahatma Gandhi said, I would have become a Christian if I never met one. He was saying that he thought that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be truth. But then the Christians who were telling him of that gospel didn't live it. They were not just rude and mean, but they were ruthless. And they did some horrible things to other people. And he said, that doesn't sound like the God of love that they preach. They don't even exemplify it, is what he was trying to say. That's what I'm reading between the lines, that they were not modeling the gospel. They were not the example. When someone says, let's have unity, but yet they're causing strife by having favoritism and always talking about one person more than the other, or they're always comparing other people, or always picking on their faults and never praising them and showing them the good things they have achieved. And you know that the more you speak over them, that they're going to do even better. The things that are weaknesses are going to disappear because they'll just automatically get better as you edify them. Because what you speak over them, they shall what? Become. Let's start sowing seeds of edification. Let's start sowing seeds of encouragement. Let's let this be a year of new beginnings, that even though that person is blowing it, even that though that person is really not being nice to me, if I say, you know what, you're not being nice, I am going to get everything I just said. I just seeded it. That person's going to keep not being nice to me. I don't want that anymore. Let's erase that. So I'm going to start saying, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit on a regular basis. And I bless you to walk in kindness, gentleness, goodness. And they'll probably go, irks, and look at me and go, what? But that'll de-escalate them, wouldn't it? And then the next time I see them, I believe that they will start operating of what I have spoken into their lives. And I should speak that over my own life. You know, you ever, you know, heard someone go, duh, that was a dumb thing to do, the person says over themselves, right? Guess what they're going to keep doing? Dumb things. Because they keep saying it over themselves. And so they should cast themselves, say, I cancel, make null and void that word, which was a seed of negativism. And now just wash it away with the blood of Jesus. And now let's speak a good seed in its place. Replant something better. What? The word of God. The word of God is what we need to keep planting in our life. But we should analyze every area of our life and look in the garden of our heart and see, are there parts that have famine? Are there parts that are drought? Are there parts that are overflowing with abundance? Because we're really good at that. But the parts we're really not good at, we really have to start working at and watering that area of the garden so that we could be overall in every area of our personality and character becoming more and more like Jesus Christ with that godly characteristic. So this year, you're going to watch me water myself, and I'm going to bear a lot more fruit, okay? And I expect you guys to be doing the same, and we can water each other with words of love and grace and kindness and goodness and edifying. And if you blow it, I'm just going to say, you know what? That's okay. You're going to do it better next time in Jesus' name, right? It's easy for people to beat themselves up when they make a mistake. And it's easy for Christians to beat their own up and not give them a second chance to change and think they're the same as what they used to be. And when you make your analysis upon them, you're looking at the old person, because I know ABCers work very hard to change. And we now have to ask God to give us the eyes of what he sees, flood our spiritual eyes with light so that we could see how they are changing. And look at their heart, not their actions. Because sometimes it takes a while to renew our minds and then to change gears. But they're in the process of. And if they're in the process of, why should we beat them up just because they haven't arrived yet? True? Shouldn't we be the people that also try to water them with words of encouragement? You know what? I'm glad you're making that effort. And you know, if you know they're working in a certain area and it just isn't quite there yet, have you ever been with a family member and they say, you have always blah, 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 blah. And you said you were going to change this and that and this and that. And you know what? You haven't yet. And if that person was working very hard, this person's now canceling what they're doing with their words. It becomes a curse to them without realizing it. Now, almost every day I say these words, in the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null and void any words that I may have said that do not line up with the word of God over myself or others, or that others may have said over me. I try very carefully to choose my words, and I usually use the word challenge. That's what I've been taught by Pastor Joshua, so that if the devil's trying to give you a challenge, it's not something you already took or have. And so if I try to guard that, then I am at least trying to have my shield of faith up that I'm not receiving what the devil's trying to do. But sometimes when you're asking someone to be in prayer support with you, or some problem or challenge needs to be resolved, you can't just say, there's no problem at all, and then they can't resolve it. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk to people and describe a situation without making it have a negative impact. Does that make sense? You have to bring to somebody's attention something that, if it offended you, according to Matthew 18, that you go to your brother or sister, and if there's aught against them, then you could say, you know what, you didn't realize that this annoyed me and offended me, but I forgave you in the name of Jesus, and I just have prayed that in the name of Jesus that God helps you to work that out and change, and I bless you in the name of Jesus to be strong in that area, for where we are weak, God is strong. You know, I think it's important. My marriage with my husband is based on that, and we help each other, And normally the other person will say, I didn't realize I was doing that. I mean, people don't on purpose go to hurt somebody or offend. Most people do not, at least in true Christians that really want to grow in Christ. You know what I'm saying? And in churches, there's a lot of different kinds of people at a lot of different kinds of levels. And there are witches that the devil sends to some churches that we just believe in Jesus' name. They can't enter our church, but that pretend to be Christian, but they're really wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. Okay. So what are we going to see this year? See, wealth is not necessarily just finances. It is having an abundance of God's blessings. That's why I said wealth and finances is what God wants to show us how to prosper, okay? So let's think of these things in this mindset, all right? So, B, we're at 1B. Why do you not see the harvest you want? It's because there is no seed or something wrong with the planting of that seed. So you have to ask God, what's wrong? Let the Holy Spirit show you. I know that when we plant into this ministry, because it's pure ground, it's not a 501c3. We're giving straight to the kingdom of God. It's not a diluted planting, so it won't be a diluted harvest. Pastor James, my husband, and I have prospered being at ABC exponentially more than anywhere we've ever been. And we've been to a lot of prosperity seminars. We've studied a lot about prosperity. This is, you know, my husband's ministry is a ministry of giving finances to the gospel. This is what his call in life is. And we are givers. We don't seek the gifts. We seek God, the giver. And all we want from him is his love. We already have the salvation. That's everything. That's enough. What else could we ask for, right? So I don't go begging to God for anything. I just go and tell him how grateful I am that he's my God, my King. And number two, God is a planter and a sower. Look at all the things he's planted in your life, my life. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, according to Genesis 2:8. And there he put a man whom he had formed. Do you know that Adam was the first seed of mankind? Do you know that God wants you to be exactly as Adam was supposed to be living as in the fruitfulness with no sickness, no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no death, no separation from God, no confusion, no lack, no emotional woundings, no abuse. It was a true garden. I'm not talking about just plants and flowers. We're talking about walking in the fruit of God, walking in the presence of the Lord, and we don't see ourselves as that seed. We now have to start walking as who God made us to be, and to multiply that to other people. What did God plant? He planted a seed. Number three, where did God get the seed? God planted and sowed a good heavenly seed and put it in the earth so it would look like heaven. Wow, God really wants us to have heaven on earth, but Satan tried to steal it from us. But we who take dominion and authority, we take it back in the name of Jesus. What is rightfully ours, our inheritance. Matthew 6, 9 through 15 says, after this manner, therefore you pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where God got the seed. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness will then reap more unforgiveness into your life, and therefore there be big roadblocks, and you cannot bear good fruit. Number four, God grows a seed that he plants. A, and out of the ground, God made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, according to Genesis 2:9. So when you go to B, page 2, giving a 10% tithe of the income of God's requirement, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Test me, it means. That's one of the only places that we can see that God says, I want you to check it out. And then he makes it good. He shows you that this is true. Saith the Lord of hosts, that if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so that was out of Malachi 3:10. That is what God requires. But C says, giving offerings above the tithe is planting your seed. So this is where you're giving your thankfulness and your gratefulness and blessing God and his work. And number five, part one of God's prosperity plan is be a planter or sower like God is a planter or sower. A, every financial offering you give to church is a seed planting. So you're planting seeds every time you give an offering, every time you give an offering. You could name that seed and it shall come back to you what you're naming. B, pay attention to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 1 through 30. I'm going to read it to you, and you can open up your Bibles and read with me. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, we've got to make sure our seed takes good root in good soil. They withered away, and some fell on thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground. ABC is good ground to plant your seed, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60 and 30. We have been, my husband and I, would plant many offerings. We have never failed a tithe since we've been saved. And if you have, you need to repent. And then God doesn't want you to just give it all back in repayment. You could ask for forgiveness. And then it's like from now on, keep tithing consistently. Okay, be faithful. And so, but we did not get the 100-fold return. No matter how big our seed offering was, and we would pray over that. But here in this ministry, we've received 100-fold return. Now, that's a huge return of profit on your investment. God is good soil to invest in. And my husband is making what percentage income above before now? 500% more income since he came to ABC. So if you want more prosperity, you have to plant a bigger seed. If you want just little tiny grapes and raisins, you plant small. You want big watermelons, plant a bigger seed. Okay, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So those of you who want to pay attention, I'm helping you. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So God is showing you revelation knowledge. He's showing you how to do it. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. I never understood that. I said, God, what does that mean? Why are you taking away for the person that doesn't even hardly have anything? That's not fair. And the rich, you're going to give more? Like, hello? Politically, that doesn't even sound correct. But the Lord says, because they're blessing me, I can trust them and I give them bigger harvest because they're going to give me bigger seed and more abundance to do more for my kingdom. And the one who has little is a taker, is a drainer. They just want your money. They're not giving you anything back. They're selfish and their seed shrivels up. And because they don't prosper, lo, you always have the poor with you because they don't really want to be a giver. And so he's going to take from them wasting God's money to someone who's not going to waste it and use it to bless. God's a giver. He's a planter. We need to become givers and planters. If you want to prosper, give more. It doesn't sound logical in the world, but it is God's law. He commanded it. You plant, you must get a harvest. The farmer doesn't see the seed anymore when the ground covers it up. But he expects the harvest of what he planted. He goes and plans. He goes and talks to the market. And he says, I expect a bumper crop because the, you know, I believe the weather's going to be this with lots of rain. And how much will you give me for my produce? He already is renting the trucks to come pick up the harvest when he plants the seed. He contracts it because if he doesn't get those trucks, somebody else will. He acts as if he already has a bumper crop. Why? Because it's faith in action. You act as if there's nothing in your account, so you're going to get nothing. You worry about not having, and so you will not have. You have to also plant in your heart and in your mind what God has already given you in the spirit realm and grab it in the spirit and expect that you already have that harvest because you've been obedient to the word of God. In Jesus' name. It can't do anything but bring a blessing when you seed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the people who are hoarding their money and scared that if they give any little thing, that they'll get poorer. Those are them that are not understanding. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross. I didn't know gross was hardened. Hardness of heart couldn't get through to them, and their ears. Their ears probably had wax too, but their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes have closed, unless at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. He has to heal them because what? They're not where they need to be, because healed people are prosperous. But blessed are your eyes, verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, ABCers, verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, ABCers, because you see, and your ears, for they hear the word of God. And you are doers, and this year you are going to plant bumper crop seeds of expectation. And your money and finances and your offerings are going to go to this ministry that is undiluted soil, fully fresh with nutrition to bear much fruit. Why wouldn't you want to give more? Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen in them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard. Verse 18, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Pay attention to this. Verse 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, because that means they're not doing it, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy immediately. This is he which received the seed by the wayside because they were just really not paying attention and just live streaming when they were vacuuming. falling asleep during service. Not this church. Hark, nobody in this church could ever do that, right? Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that means immediately with joy receives it. Immediately with joy receive the word. Pay attention every service. Grab every word and then go do it immediately with joy. Verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, and it's going to ariseth much, pretty soon, because of the word, and by he is offended. He is offended, so guess what's going to happen? Can't be good. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what? Unfruitful. Being offended and loving the world brings unfruitfulness. That person is barren. That seed cannot grow. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that what? Hears the word and understands it. Because when you understand it, you do it. Which also bears what? Fruit. And brings forth some 100-fold, some 60 and 30. All right? So if you want some bigger 100-fold fruit, give bigger 100-fold seeds. Verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, they then appeared the tares or weeds also. And so the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares or weeds? He said unto them, the enemy has done this. That's mixture. When you go listen to other people who are preaching a gospel, not based on the word, but conjecture, it will confuse you and you won't bear good fruit. Verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. But don't go into the enemy's territory. Keep the word of God pure in your life. So the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them? But he said, nay, verse 29, lest while you gather up the tares, or, you know, tares, I just thought of it, should be T-E-A-R also. Because those things that are not of God will tear up the good harvest. We shouldn't let them in our lives. You root up also the wheat with them. Gather them all up together. Let both grow together unto the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say the reapers, gather you together first the tares, that which is not of God. Bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So God will separate and sift. Six. Part two of God's prosperity plan, grow every seed planted and sown. A, give at every opportunity to be blessed on every wave, according to Ecclesiastes 11:1. Don't let the basket go by without putting something in it. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. B, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over. That means it's spilling over. There's so much that can't fit in that basket. It's just going to be given over to so many people. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What you give shall come back to you, according to Luke 6:38. See, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in future ABCers, according to Jeremiah 29:11. I love this scripture, Isaiah 48:17. Holy Spirit will teach you to profit and be successful in area of your life, every area. Ask him, Holy Spirit, teach me to profit and be successful. Number seven. God provides seed to the sower, according to 2 Corinthians 9:10. And you can look that up. And eight, when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even the enemies to be at peace with him, according to Proverbs 16:7. And I'm going to go back just very quickly to 2 Corinthians 9. God provides seed to the sower. I'm going to read you verse 10. Now, may he who supplies to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Why? Why is God giving you abundance just so that you could hoard it up and have more and boast to your neighbors? No. Verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving for us to God. You're supposed to give thanksgiving when abundance comes. Why? For 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. 13. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing, being generous with them and all men. 14. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because the exceeding grace of God is in you. 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is the indescribable gift? Number 5, let's go back to verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 9. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time. Prepare your generous gift, your offering, beforehand, which you had previously promised because you wanted to give God, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that means never lacking, may have an abundance for every good work. That good work is for kingdom business. So dedicate and consecrate your offerings to God for his kingdom and his use. Amen? Amen. Now, number 9. With seed, you can create a financial harvest and cultivate God's garden all over the earth. God wants you to prosper so much, to get the gospel and the good news, especially the news that we have here at ABC, to all the people so that they will know how to be ready and be overcomers and have authority and take dominion over this earth during the end times and not be afraid. Do you know, we're so excited that we went on vacation and God told me when to book the flight, and I had made arrangements and we got permission what dates. I hadn't booked the payment yet, and then some changes came. So I had to, you know, secure the dates first, and then the dates started changing, and then when the dates changed, I didn't have to pay a penalty fee because the Lord had me wait to pay the ticket. And he still reserved those seats for us. And then we said, Lord, we need money also for a car rental for a whole week. Do you know that God blessed us out of the blue by somebody came and gave us the entire money that was the entire bill? Do you know, after we booked the tickets, we said, Lord, we know that we don't have any lack or want of any good thing, but we really want to go see my father-in-law, and he's 97 years old now. And I know he's having fun ministering in the convalescent homes, all the ABC prayers and praying for the sick and getting people ministered. But Lord, we just want to cherish him, you know, because he hasn't been taught to live and remain for the time he has. Do you know that after we booked those tickets, God provided the whole thing? Do you know that while we were on vacation, we got about $2,000 given to us? Paid for the whole thing? Why? We're givers. And that happens all the time. People come up and just bless us and bless us and bless us. And so we are giving bigger seeds and bigger seeds and bigger seeds. Why? Because we want this ministry to prosper. We want the word that Pastor Josh was giving to go out to this world. We want to give so those books are published. We want to get the word out to people so that they will also be able to partake of that which we're receiving and be thankful for the gift The gift that God is giving us, indescribable gift. What is that gift? The indescribable gift is that we are allowed to be givers. We are allowed to give gifts of finances and gifts of the blessings of God and gifts of edifying people with the word of God and being gracious and edifying and an abundance of everything that we have. And the love of God is the best. Let's give God's love and let's go ahead and seed what we want to see this year. In Jesus' name, God wants all ABCers to prosper and be in health more than you've ever prospered, and also in your wealth and finances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Father, we just thank you so very much for sending Jesus. You sent him to pay the price we owed but could not pay. And Jesus did not owe it, so he stood in our stead and he paid the price for us. The great exchange. How amazing your love for us, that you loved us even while we were yet sinners and even while we were basically hating you, you loved us, and you demonstrated your love by sending Jesus. And Jesus, on that night in which he was betrayed, took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Healing for your children. Healing is the children's bread, and it's spoken of throughout all of scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We thank you, Lord, over and over again. And you say in the mouth of two or three witnesses, well, my goodness, we have so many witnesses throughout all of your word that confirm that the price has been paid and the healing belongs to us. And so we refuse, we return to sender any symptoms that try to attack our bodies, for they do not belong on us. For our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, and Satan's junk does not belong on our bodies, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, pure, holy, precious to God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and every symptom and every challenge that comes against us, we push it back with the word of God. We push it back with the body of Jesus Christ. And we say, no, you do not belong to me. Go in the name of Jesus. And we receive now of that broken body of Jesus Christ into our bodies to make our bodies healed, healthy, whole, restored, and rejuvenated. In Jesus' precious name, let's partake together now.